This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Think separation is just about splitting up? Think again. You can't control everything when a relationship ends, but knowing your rights and responsibilities right away can save months of headaches. Many Kiwis don't realise that sitting down to plan property and parenting arrangements can make separation far less stressful.
Settling in a new city can raise lots of questions. How does the bus service work? Can I join the local library? Where do I go to get advice on renting a home? Over the next half hour, the team from Citizens Advice Bureau bring you all the latest news and information of special interest to new migrants settling in Dunedin. Welcome to Resettling in Aotearoa with Citizens Advice Bureau.
Kia ora, no mai anō. Welcome back to Citizens Advice Bureau, Otipoti Dunedin's monthly Resettling in Aotearoa show. Tonight's show, we're going to explore separation and what you need to think about. Ko Anna Aho, I'm the manager at CAB here in Otipoti Dunedin. So the first bit of good advice is if you're thinking about separating, you should prepare before the end of the relationship. Don't just leave. Make sure you do it the right way, preferably amicably and in agreement with your partner. Obviously, this isn't always possible, but if you and your partner are separating, whether you need to involve lawyers or go to court will depend on what, if any, issues arise from the separation. And so if it's amicable, that hopefully won't be necessary. If you can agree and sort out any issues, you don't have to do anything formal and you can write your own separation agreement. So what should be in a separation agreement? So, well, firstly, it's a record of your separation and the decisions you and your partner have made. The agreement on its own is not legally enforceable, but you can make it enforceable if you choose. And there's no specific format for a separation agreement. And if you and your partner separate and can reach agreement, your separation should state the fact that you and your spouse or partner are separating and the date of your separation. And other things that the agreement should include or could include would be how you're going to share the day-to-day care of your children, if you have any. The parenting arrangements, including decision-making and financial support. Things like who will care for any pets, how you will share the repayment of any joint debt, like your mortgage, and relationship property. But more on this later. It's a good idea for both of you to sign the agreement to show that you both agree to it. The first thing, of course, though, is always your safety. So if you're experiencing domestic or family violence, the most important thing to consider is your safety and that of your children. And if you're experiencing this and you need to leave immediately, you should be able to get emergency accommodation from Women's Refuge and or the Ministry of Social Development. If you left an abusive relationship and now need time off work to find a new home for you and your children, there are also special leave types available to you. For example, the family violence leave. You're also entitled to request flexible working arrangements for up to 2 months. And if you ask for this, your employer must respond to the request urgently and within 10 working days. And that entitlement is separate to your existing rights to make a flexible working request, where you actually have the right to ask for short-term flexible working arrangements of up to 2 months and not be treated adversely in the workplace because you might have experienced family violence. So if your safety isn't an issue, the next most important thing would probably be the decisions you you need to make concerning any children that you might have. So both parents obviously have rights and responsibilities for the children. So both are responsible for the children's upbringing and day-to-day care. That includes decisions about things like where they're going to live, where they're going to go to school, medical treatment, etc. So if you separate, you should both try to agree on the day-to-day care of the children. For example, you can share the day-to-day care by having your child spend part of the week living with each parent, or you might agree on the child mainly living with one parent and spending their school holidays with the other parent. But if only one parent has the day-to-day care of the child, those arrangements allow they should allow for the child to spend time with the other parent. It is important to put your child's needs first. That is actually required under the Care of Children Act. So it's really good to involve them in the discussion if you can. You can actually use the Ministry of Justice Parenting Plan workbook to help ensure that you cover all those key issues in your discussion. And if you're both able to come to an agreement about the day-to-day care and access to the children, it's a good idea, like we said, to do that in writing. And it's called a parenting agreement. We have an article actually on our website, www.cab.org.nz. If my spouse and I split up, what rights will I have regarding how our children are brought up? And there's a link in that article to download the parenting plan workbook. So again, a parenting agreement is not legally binding. If one of you has a concern with the other not following the parenting agreement, you can make an application to the family court to formalise it by turning the agreed terms into a court order, which is a parenting order. If, however, you disagree as parents about the day-to-day care of your children, there are steps you need to follow. Under the Care of Children Act, you generally cannot take a dispute about your children's care to court until after you have both attended a parenting through separation course and tried mediation through family disputes resolution. Of course, that's unless family violence is involved. The Parenting Through Separation PTS course is a free course that provides parents, guardians and whānau practical advice to help you understand and manage the needs of your children, you know, after there's been a change in family situation or separation. It's designed really to help both parties agree on a solution that's best for their children, and anyone can attend who is in dispute about child arrangements. And the course is run by community providers from funding by the government, and it's free. It's usually 4 hours long and split into two-hour sessions. And generally, both parties in the dispute will attend the program separately. The course covers how a change in family situation or separation affects children, what is best for children when that happens, and tools and tips to help you, including how to make a parenting plan. In Dunedin, the Methodist Mission Southern run these courses, and CAB always have an updated list of the times and the dates of the courses for each month, so get in touch if you want to know what those are. If you both attend, you may be able to come to an agreement about the day-to-day care arrangements for your children at that point. So when you complete that Parenting Through Separation course, you'll receive a certificate of completion. So, you know, in the event that you do actually end up going to court to resolve your dispute, you'll need to present that certificate to show the family court that you have completed it. So make sure you keep it. However, before court, the next step, if you can't agree after attending the Parenting Through Separation course, is to go to mediation through a family disputes resolution, which is a mediation process that helps parents and guardians resolve a dispute over the care of their children. Again, except in urgent cases where family violence is involved, the parties are generally not able to apply to the family court to resolve this kind of dispute unless they have already tried mediation. So with family dispute resolution mediation, which I'll now call FDR, both parties in the dispute need to attend. An independent mediator is present and they'll help both of you discuss the issues and try to come to an agreement about the day-to-day care of the children. When you're ready for FDR mediation, either party can look for a ministry-approved mediator and we can actually help you find one, so get in touch. But as of the 1st of July this year, FDR mediation is free if you use a ministry-approved FDR mediator. So if the mediator decides that mediation can go ahead and that you're suitable for it, then the parties involved will attend a number of mediation sessions. How many will depend on your situation, and the mediator will tell you how many they think will be necessary. And during the mediation, both parties will have a chance to express their points of view. The mediator will ensure that you focus on the key issues, like who will live with who, arrangements after school and in the holidays, and how changeovers between the houses are managed. You can also discuss issues such like where the children will actually go to school if you have to move further apart from each other. if an agreement is reached at that point through the FDR resolution mediation, you can exit from the process as soon as you come to an agreement about the care of your children. And if you reached an agreement while doing FDR mediation, the mediator can put the plan in writing for you. If you have, if you have an informal arrangement about the care of your children when you split up, or if you want to formalise the agreement that you both made at FDR, you can choose to formalise your agreement through a consent order. To apply for a consent order, you need to complete some forms and then file them with the family court along with your parenting through separation certificate or the reasons that you cannot do the course. You need to complete and file the forms yourself, but you can get the forms checked by a lawyer to ensure that you have filled them out correctly. Because if you fill out the forms incorrectly, your application may be rejected and you may have to reapply. You probably will not need to appear in court, but there is a court fee involved. But you, like I said, that'll make it enforceable in court. It costs $220 to apply for a consent order. If you can't afford it, you tell the court and they may waive the fee. And it's worth considering because even if both of you currently follow the agreement, you just don't know what's going to happen in the future as situations change. So it's better to get it filed at the court and then it's enforceable. The FDR mediator may, however, decide that both parties are suitable for FDR, but one of you or both of you would benefit from some counselling to prepare because, for example, one of your behaviour shows that you're too angry or stressed to think clearly. And you can get up to 3 hours of counselling. You might be able to, as I said, bypass parenting through separation and the FDR and go straight to the family court. Also, if the parties in the dispute cannot effectively take part, like that might mean if one refuses to engage or can't attend, or if an agreement is obviously not reached, or if the FDR mediator decides that one or both of you are unsuitable, and then you can go to the family court for a decision. Urgent court orders can also be applied for directly to the family court. So, for example, if one party is planning to take the child overseas, or the safety of you or your child is at risk, or again, if you or your child is experiencing family violence. At the end of the FDR sessions, you'll receive a certificate again, which confirms you've completed it, and you know steps you've taken to resolve it. So if you end up going to court, because after doing the FDR, you still haven't come to an agreement, then you'll need to show that certificate to prove that you've done that in the last 12 months. So after children are sorted out, you would need to deal with your relationship property. So the law considers what is best for any dependent children in the division of property, and the family court must make sure any dependent children are looked after when it divides relationship property. If there's no contracting out or separation agreement that you'd already had prior to getting together, the Property Relationship Act, the PRA, applies to all married and civil union couples and those who have been living together in a de facto situation for a minimum of 3 years. And that also includes any time living together before you were married or you went into a civil union. If no other separation agreement is made and the relationship ends, the Property Relationship Act will decide how you and your former party's property will be divided. Doesn't matter if your relationship started overseas. If one of you is living in New Zealand, that PRA will apply. Uses general principle of equal sharing of property and debts when dividing relationship property. And separate property is usually not shared. So relationship property can include all the assets that have sort of been acquired by either parent, by either partner, and usually includes things like the family home, furniture, the family car, any property that either of you had before or during the relationship that was for the common use or benefit of both of you, property owned jointly or in equal shares by either of you, any income earned during the relationship, insurance on relationship property, superannuation accounts, KiwiSaver funds, etc. Separate property is property that has not been used for the benefit of the relationship and has been kept separate. and that's not usually shared. If you cannot agree on how to divide relationship property, you have to apply for a relationship property order. Remember, a separation agreement is a record of the agreement made between the two of you, and for it to be legally binding, it must be in writing. You both must have obtained independent legal advice from separate lawyers about the PRA and your property, and your signatures must have been witnessed by a lawyer who's certified that they explain the implications of your agreement. If you have concerns about whether your partner will stick to it, you can apply to the family court to have it registered as a consent order. Means that it can be enforced if one party breaches the terms. So you're also liable for your former partner's debts. Relationship debt includes debt taken out in both partners' names, but also in one partner's names where both benefit. And, you know, if even if it's one in one name, like a business loan, if you both benefit from it, or a loan on a car that you both shared. You should put any relationship debt into your separation agreement, and you should be able to negotiate how that you will deal with it. You know, it's a good idea to close any joint bank accounts and start new ones under your own name, and make sure any automatic payments that went from the joint accounts or transferred to your new accounts so you don't miss payments. Just remember, generally, a bank will not close a joint account unless both account owners have agreed to it. Remember to remove yourself as a guarantee for anything for your ex-partner, because that will limit your liability. It might not remove all of your obligations. And tell your creditors if you're having financial difficulties, because you might be eligible for hardship provisions on any contracts you have, credit contracts. Some situations one of you might have to financially support your ex-partner for a time, just for a limited period of time if they can't support themselves. Like, for instance, if one person stopped working, he's looking after the house and the kids for a period of time, and you can make a private agreement to support your partner. If you're unable to come to an agreement, one of you can apply to the family court for a spousal maintenance order. Remember, your KiwiSaver funds, anything that's accumulated, and that or your partner since the start of your relationship becomes relationship property. And something else to be aware of, there's something called notices of claim. So if there's property that is in the name of only one partner, such as a family home or a vehicle, and you're concerned that your partner will sell them before you reach an agreement, you need to talk to a lawyer, and they can register a notice of claim on the property to prevent your partner doing anything without your agreement. So what else do you need to think about if you're separating? If you're renting, you need to decide, and you're both tenants, you need to decide to whether continue to live in the rental property or if one of you will leave. It depends whose name's on the tenancy agreement. If you own your own home, and it's amicable and you can accommodate the arrangement, you may decide to continue sharing your home after you separate. What you'll do depend on what you can afford, whether you have children. But you need to continue paying things like the mortgage, the rates and insurance. Your options are things like sell the property and divide the proceeds between you if you don't want to stay in it. One partner buys the other partner's interest out in the family home. One partner remains in the family home, because they're going to be providing the day-to-day care of the dependent children. And you can make a separation agreement about how the costs of the home will be shared and what will happen to your children when they're no longer dependent. And if one partner wants to remain in the family home but you can't agree, you can request the court to make an occupation order in favour of one partner being able to remain. Or both of you can remain in the family home, because living apart's not necessary when you separate. I mean, it's not, you don't have to live apart. You can agree to continue living under the same roof. But lead separate lives. That's called separation under the one roof, or nesting. If you cannot agree, you can ask the family court to decide. If you must move out and you cannot afford a market rental, you may be eligible for public housing or other low-cost social housing options. Other practical stuff you will need to do eventually. Bind and copy important documents, includes your marriage certificates, land titles, bank statements, mortgage and loan agreements. Update your passwords and details, like on personal things like your banking, My IRD, RealMe, social media, government agencies, service utility providers, banks, medical stuff, landlords. Let the children's school know of any new information, such as who's going to collect the children, new addresses and contact information, update your will. We have a, just remember that we actually do have a number of articles on our website, www.cab.org.nz, that relate to all that information we've talked about tonight, because it's quite a lot. Things like, I left an abusive relationship and now I need time off work to find a new home for me and the children. Will I have to take annual leave? We just separated. What happens to the tenancy of our home? All about the family dispute resolution. How much does it cost? What will happen when we go? You know, what is it? We've got many articles about that whole process. We've got articles about what is the parenting through separation course. We've got articles on we are separating, what are options for dealing with the family home. We've actually got an article about who will get custody of the dog when we separate, because they are considered family chattels under the Property Relationship Act. Yeah, so, you know, you've got to decide where they'll be safe, who can spend the most time with the pet, you know, who's the pet most attached to, whose home is the safest and most appropriate. What other articles do we have? We are separating. What are our options for dealing with the family home? How to change banks? Am I legally obliged to financially support my partner when we separate? And things about, you know, find out how to get free legal advice if you have a dispute about the care of your children. What is relationship property? What is separate property? So, yeah, there's a lot of information you can go and read about. And then when you, if you need further help, you know, give us a call. We can help you with all that stuff because it's quite complicated. But just try to remember there's three separate issues, really. There's the day-to-day care and access to the children. There's the relationship property. And then there's financial support and, like, child support and those arrangements that you might make, which can be done privately or you can do through IRD. Yep. But yes, if it's amicable and everyone gets on well, that is the best plan. But plan ahead. So, yep, this Resettling in Aotearoa Citizens Advice Bureau show plays on the second Wednesday of the month at 8:30 p.m. and then the following Thursday at 1 p.m. on ORFM 105.4 FM. The episodes are also available on podcast at www.oar.org.nz. /resettling-in-Aotearoa. If you have enjoyed the show tonight and found the information helpful, please share our show and the podcast with friends, whānau, and workmates. Citizens Advice Bureau is here to help you know and understand and exercise your rights under the law here in New Zealand and how to resolve your issues. Our help and advice is free. And we can help anyone about anything. There's no eligibility criteria that you have to meet to use our service. We are independent of any government agency, and anything we talk about remains completely confidential. So you can talk to us about any of these things or anything else by calling us directly on 471 6166 or 0800 367 222 nationwide.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.